It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs.
Welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raymond, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939. Alabama Pipe and Supply and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed, yes. On the hill in Spanish Fort.
Yep.
The new place. What an awesome place, man.
Well, I hope everybody had a good week.
And, yes.
Weather's beautiful right now, anyway. But
well, I tell you what, they're catching hell in some part of other parts of the country, though.
Yeah.
Over around Texas area. How about your boy in Houston?
You know, I haven't talked to him.
He must be all right, then.
He must be all right. My brother, actually, from Texas, is at my house right now. So,
oh, okay.
So he ain't worried about it. So.
No, I hear that. Yeah. But, he's not going to get flooded out of here anyway.
Yeah.
His house and all might and business.
His house might, but yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'll have to get in touch with him and see. But we already have a caller online. Let's see who's who called in first tonight.
You won't believe it.
Uh-oh.
The donut man. Yeah. Let me tell y'all what's been happening since Monday.
Uh-oh.
I ain't been able to sleep since Joyhead talking about he was number one.
Oh, my
I
Lord.
I had to call my therapist this morning.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, he messed me up when he said he was the number one
Oh,
man.
My Lord. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
How y'all gentlemen doing?
Now we're doing all right, as long as you awake and call in today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All is well. Y'all right. Had a good weekend?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
That's good. What year did they put the first up and down stern wheel, tilt stern wheel?
Tilt steering.
Year was it? What car company was it?
I will say it was
tilt stern wheel. What car company was it?
I'm going to say it was a General Motors product. Probably either a Cadillac or Oldsmobile. I'm going to call it a Cadillac. And somewhere around 61?
1963 Chevrolet.
Okay.
Really?
Yes, sir. They put the first tilt stern wheel in.
Yeah, they usually put the upgraded stuff in the Cadillac and Oldsmobile
first. Yeah,
in Oldsmobile,
yeah, that was the top of the line.
That was their test bed for that kind of stuff. So,
I don't think they should have ever got rid of the Oldsmobile. I never had no problems with them.
Man,
no, they're good cars.
I wore out four or five of those things.
442?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I didn't have one. My brother had one, and my nephew had one. But I love those 88s and 98s.
Okay.
You like the big boats.
I like the big boats, yeah.
All right. Anything good coming up, Tom?
No, not that I know of. We're going to have I guess I could say that. On the 18th, which is Saturday week, it'll be Saturday 2 weeks, at Ed's, we're going to have a big shindig over there at noon.
Okay.
I'm hoping that Eric Reynolds will be there. One of my Marines, my 96-year-old Marine that's in my outfit, has a World War II China Marine and also a Korean War 50-50 in 51.
Wow.
And he was at Frozen Chosen Reservoir, and he went in with the Marines, and they come back out of there with the Marines. And he did get his toes froze, but he didn't lose them. But he's going to be given the Veteran of the Year Award by Panini Pete Hospitality Group and Ed's Seafood Shed. So
that's Saturday the 18th.
That's Saturday the 18th at high noon. You need
high
to be
noon.
There.
11, right.
11 o'clock. Oh, actually, come on, 11 o'clock. I'll buy you lunch.
No, I'll buy you lunch.
Well, I'll do that, too. That's okay.
Yeah, I'll buy you lunch.
All right.
Matter of fact, I'm going to bring lunch. I got some garlic bologna up in there and some hog head cheese.
You better bring a bunch of it because I love me some. I bought some hog head cheese last Saturday. And up on that would be some saltines.
And tell Jawhead, and I hope he listen, that I'm waiting on that chicken and dumplings.
Oh, my Lord, yeah. When he brings it, you got to come to the station and head up on some of it.
Well, I'm going to get some of it, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Even if I got to walk or ride my bicycle, I'm coming to get it.
You call me, I'll come get you.
I appreciate y'all, gentlemen. I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. What an awesome gentleman.
Always good to hear from Marcus.
Yeah, I love you some Marcus. He's a good guy.
Yep. I'm sure we'll hear from Jarhead for it.
Well, he's got to wake up from his nap.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But anyway, I hope everybody had a good week and a pleasant weekend because it was beautiful this weekend. We rode down to the island and hung out a little bit.
It was good.
Really, really nice down there.
Did y'all go boat riding?
No. Didn't stay that. We weren't there that long. My brother was down there a little bit. We went and visited a little bit yesterday. But, it would have been nice to put the boat in the water and gone for a ride.
Yeah, because it was pretty slick down there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was starting to get a little windy. But
it was getting a little choppy?
It wasn't bad.
Okay.
It wasn't bad.
Well, his boat's decent size anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, that one's a 19-foot.
19? Well,
yeah, so it's fine for the bay.
It's fine for the bay, though, yeah.
Yeah.
And when it's slick out there, then you can get on around outside the island.
Yep. Yeah, we can get around on the Gulf side from time to time. It's not scared. So.
You ain't scared. I ain't scared, boy. That boy ain't scared.
Yeah, not scared.
Not scared. He ain't scared a bit.
But I'm sure some people out there have some issues with their rides, and we're just waiting to call in. So,
I saw something the other day while we waited on the call. I wanted to talk to you about it. A kid got himself locked in the car, and the daddy went and got a roll of duct tape. And he come out there, and on the driver's windows, he put like three rows of duct tape on there and mashed it on there real good. And then he took another roll of duct, or a couple of rows, and put on it. And he pulled that window down. How could you do that? That don't make sense, because that's a mechanism that holds that up, isn't it? It is.
It had to be broke for that to work. I don't know what kind of car it was, but it the only way that could really work is if the mechanism in there wasn't working.
Well,
like
it's a mechanical lift arm in there that raises that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like a pair of scissors that pushes that up.
And most of them nowadays have a...
Like a scissor lifter.
Well, they have a cable system in it that actually uses like a little braided metal cable and pulleys to run the bar that the glass attaches to, run it up and down. And,
so he couldn't he wouldn't be able to override that thing, would he?
No, you wouldn't pull it, because once it's a geared mechanism right there at the motor, and I don't care how much you pull on it, you're not going to get it to move.
That's what I was wondering.
But if it was... not working properly or something like that, then I've seen be able to slide windows down like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, my guess is that he knew it probably didn't work right, and he was able to get it down that way.
Okay. But I was just thinking though that if that would be a given, then you could never secure your car, because you could walk around with a suction cup deal.
Yeah,
like you do to pull dents out of the cars with, and pop it on the glass and pull the damn glass down.
Right.
And then you could get in the car. You wouldn't even, you wouldn't have to have a key to get in the door.
Yeah, I mean, if that was the case on most vehicles, you couldn't secure them.
Right.
It'd be too easy to bypass that. So, like I say, I'm sure there was something going on with it. He probably knew that.
Yeah.
So he was able to manipulate.
Well, he didn't hesitate.
Yeah.
He didn't hesitate when he walked up there to it, and he turned around and went and got a roll of duct tape and walked right back. I'm going like, but it didn't take him long to figure that out.
Yeah.
I said, I don't understand that, because every one I ever seen had some kind of jacking or mechanism, either electronic or, like in the older cars, they had a scissor looking thing. Scissor lift on there. That had a big rivet in it, and they pivoted off of that rivet, and once it got there, it had, it like you say, it had a gear in it.
Right.
And it was a gear drive. You had like a big half moon.
Mm-hmm.
It was on part of the scissor lift, and then you had the gear on the mechanism.
Right.
And I'm going, I don't understand just what I just saw.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, everything is 100% on the Internet. Is true.
If it was on the Internet, it's got to be true.
Got to be true. You know?
Got to be. So, but, you know, hey, there's ways around everything. But, like I say, that one, I'm sure he knew he had an issue.
And he had an issue, right, okay.
He was able to get it that way. But sounds like it's time for us to take a break, and we'll be back after these messages.
Tell it all about the mountain boy who ran illegal alcohol. His daddy made him whiskey, son he drove low. When his engine roared, they called the highway Thunder Road. Sometimes into...
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. It does look like we have a caller online. Caller, are you with us?
Well, guys, man, I'm feeling bad.
Oh, yeah?
I hate that I made Marcus lose sleep because I took over that number one spot.
Well, he said he's taking it back.
Yeah.
I guess you're going to have to just be... The number one, number two man.
Yeah.
Number two man.
You know, I was listening to Jennifer's show before y'all came on, and I wanted to tell her, yeah, I don't know if she's left yet, but maybe she's still listening. Jennifer, if you think that the government is going to be fair about what you're doing,
no.
You eating too many little old gummies that you are selling, hon. And I love you, babe.
Yeah.
Quit eating inventory. That's not a good thing.
It's a cash cow for the federal government and all the states, just like the lottos are. And they're going to control it to the extent that they're going to make all the money off of it.
Well, yeah. before I get to what I want to talk about, I was listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu yesterday.
Uh-oh.
And one of their callers.
I'm sorry about that.
Well, yeah, me too. But hey, when you get desperate to talk to somebody, you just got to call and talk to somebody.
Well, talk to Mike Bailey. He can tell you everything about wine, Oleo.
one of their callers, her name is Cookie. She was asking about donating a vehicle to vets.
Okay.
And, Cookie, I hope you're listening, because this man right on the other side of the phone from me, Tom Claxton, will probably tell you everything you need to know about donating a vehicle to a vet.
That's no problem, yes. We have numerous organizations that could utilize that. First one right off the top of my head is one of our potential new sponsors. With Scuttlebutt Network radio show on Wednesday nights is the Vet Recovery Resources on 1200 Spring Hill Avenue. Now, they have the new hospital clinic over there with 34 beds, and they have a clinical psychologist and all there. They're trying to help veterans that have addiction. And whatever it would be from the drugs or, you know, the opioids and or alcohol or whatever. And they are there to help them. And that would be an awesome place to make that donation. Because it will certainly go to the proper parties. I know they bought that old school over there and converted it into a, you know, like a veterans resources. And it's, you know, hey, they haven't taken they're even taking the families in and taking care of the families and all of all these vets over there. So that's just like if you needed to go to a doctor and it's a walk-in place, you don't have to wait 3 days or a month to get your darn appointment. You could go over there, you take your wife or your living girlfriend or whatever, as long as they're in your home, or if you are your kids, and they've got doctors that can treat you, whatever it may be. You know, so that's it's a very unique thing. There's a Marine, well, he's a full bird colonel now in the National Guard, but he was a Marine for about 12 years. A gutty sergeant died at 3rd Force Recon. That's John Kilpatrick is doing that. So if you have need of his services, that's Vets Resources at 1200 Spring Hill Avenue. It's an awesome menu over there. And if you are interested in going over and having your medical issues or whatever, that'd be the place to go, because the guys that are having trouble getting some psychological help, they have a new clinical psychologist over there now that's been with the VA and several other large medical organizations, and had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, and was really, really impressed with the doctor. But it's neat. Thank you for bringing that up, though. I appreciate that, that information.
I mean, you know, it's kind of like calling in and talking to Sean. If you want to call in and talk to Mike and Stu Sunday, sometimes you got to bite the bullet.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I've known Mike since he was 12 years old.
Oh, Lord.
Yes. He played for me on my Little League baseball team. And his story is that I let him go out. He come up and wanted to play. Said he was a good catcher. I said, okay, I can use you. And he was a big old boy. And most of my guys were, 7, 8, 9 years old, 10 years old, what have you. And he was already 12, so I didn't get him but 1 year. And I said, are you pretty good hitting the ball? Yes, sir, I can kill the ball. So he got up there, and he was. I had my son Tony Southpaw there throwing some balls at him. I think Tony might have been 10 then. And when he got through, he come back and went, what do you think, boss? What do you think? I said, well, you'd make a good golfer. Everything was down low, he was swinging for it. But if it was in the strike zone, he wouldn't swing at it. Yeah. But he made a good golfer. But he's a good guy, though. They lived right, over in my area.
Now, before we get through, all right, Kansas Motor Speedway. Sunday.
Okay.
Did you get to watch the race?
Not totally. I saw the finish.
I did too. Yeah.
Well, yep. 0.001
right.
Closest finish in NASCAR history.
Right.
Yep.
Now, if Martin Truex hadn't hit the wall, Elliott probably would have come in fourth, but he come in third. But I don't know what that little protrusion is coming out of the front of the car. I don't know if that's the camera or whatever. And I'm going to say this and not try to be mean about it, but it looks like Kyle Larson's was a little bit bigger than Chris Busch.
You know what? Don't worry about that. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
The car didn't break the light. What do you call it, Kevin? Now.
Well, it's the, I don't know what they call it, but there is a extension on the front bumper cover on those cars that actually, and what they're doing is they're taking the center line of the front axle and making them all the same length from that center line of the front axle to the nose.
Oh, okay.
So that protrusion is the same distance from the axle to the tip of it that it was
okay.
On the Ford.
Yeah.
Or, and or
well,
the
that's
Toyota
what made him win,
or
though.
The Chevrolets.
Yeah.
And that was the difference, is that they're the same length. If it wasn't for that, then the Chevrolet would be shorter.
Right.
And the Ford would get there first.
Uh-oh. You know? Okay.
So.
Well, now, hey, Kevin, you know the rules better than I do. What would have happened and what they said at the beginning or the end of that race was 0.000.
Right.
Yeah. What would have happened if they had a tied?
I don't know that they would ever...
both of them coming across the line at the same time.
Yeah, they would have to. I think they would have to make a call on as to who was first.
Right.
Now, whether that's even possible, I don't know. I'm sure it is, but yeah, they would.
Well, with the video footage they got now, it's pretty daggum close.
Yeah. Well, now everybody's complaining about, well, the white line wasn't the same width all the way down.
And it's
not. I mean, you look at it, and the line at the up on the racetrack was one width, and the part that was down on the
edge of the track,
the edge of the track down there where Buescher was,
right?
You know, it was a little narrower, so
okay.
He had to travel another inch or whatever to get to that line.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know what? If he had not run Larson all over the world and been actually on the racetrack when he went across the start-finish line, he wouldn't have had to worry about that anyway. So, you know.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, but that was the line he had to go across.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I hear the music, so I'm going to get on out of here. Tell Marcus, I'll be number one when I bring them chicken and dumplings.
Oh,
down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to load your lady up and come over there to his now on the 18th.
Well, you just let me know, Tom. We'll be there.
All right. High noon.
All right, buddy.
11 o'clock on the 18th at Ed's on top of Spanish Fort.
All right, okay. Guys. Simplify. Hoorah.
Hoorah.
Thank you, Jarian. But it's time for us to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
And put another quarter in the jukebox and play the song the truck driving man.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But we got into racing a little bit there, but you know what's coming up is we have summer, you know, just right in the corner. It's already hot out, but school's fixing to be out here shortly. The seniors, I think, are already graduating this week.
They are, yeah. I think they had three more weeks of school.
Right. So what we have, we're going to have a bunch of people that are going to be doing summer vacation and traveling. Kids going to be getting ready for school
and going
off to college and all this kind of stuff. Now is the time to get your car in shape and make sure it can survive the summer first.
Yes.
You got to get your cooling system checked. And just like winter, the cold weather will kill batteries. The really hot weather will also, any extremes from hot to cold will tend to kill these batteries. So get them checked. Get your cooling system, the antifreeze checked in there to make sure it's not just for antifreeze, it's also coolant. You know, it'll help keep your car cool and keep it from boiling over. One of the key points of the cooling system is the motor can stand to be 220 degrees or 230 degrees as long as it still has the liquid in it.
Right.
If it starts spitting that liquid out and it's got air pockets, that air pocket will do damage.
It's going to hurt it. Yeah.
It can definitely hurt it. So you want to make sure it stays in. And, you know, well, water boils at what, 212?
212.
So most cars nowadays run 220.
Right. You know? Right.
And the way they're able to do that is, one, the pressure on the cooling system mm-hmm. raises the boiling point, and two, with the antifreeze coolant that's in it, will raise that boiling point as well. So that's one of the key things you want to look at.
And for goodness sakes, if don't ever take your coolant out, just put regular water in it.
No, never a good idea.
No.
Well, you know, all these motors nowadays are, there's multiple types of metals involved. The radiator's aluminum, there's plastics, you have some blocks that are cast iron, you have some that are aluminum, you have, you know, just many different metals. And
dissimilar metals.
And you can start getting electrolysis set right. up in a hurry without some kind of chemical that keeps that from happening, which is part of what is going on with the coolant that's in your system.
Well, that's just like our oils. I mean, oil is not straight 100% oil. It's got a bunch of viscosity packages in it and things mm-hmm. to make, help keep the engine running cooler. And same thing with the water.
Right.
It's not just a antifreeze in there, and it's really not an antifreeze as such as we knew it mm-hmm. back in the day as it is now. So you got to keep good coolant in there.
Right.
Now, that was going to be one of my questions since you brought that up. How do we determine when we need to change that coolant?
Well, and there's every manufacturer, I mean, and the best way to do it is to go by their recommendations on how to change. Most of them are around 5 years.
Okay.
Somewhere in the 100,000 to 150,000 mile range.
Okay.
And or whichever comes first. So if you don't drive 150,000 miles in 5 years, you'll have to have it done before then. Keep on top of it. Always, and I'm preaching about going into the owner's manual. And nowadays, a lot of times they don't print out an owner's manual anymore. But you can always go online and look at it.
That being said, now can we go on online any particular place and check out all of this stuff on any maker car?
I'm sure there are some places that you can go to any car, but I do know that there's places you can go for, like a General Motors or a Ford or whatever. And don't make me try and name them right this second because I can't bring it up.
But, I understand.
Where we go is I actually go to the General Motors system because that's who I'm dealing with most of the time, and look it up for that particular car in our system.
Okay. Yeah.
But I know like Mitchell and some of these other companies that do service manuals, they do have online information on what the service intervals and that kind of stuff is on them.
That being said, is this something that a car owner could change out? Do they have the cars have pitcocks on the bottom of the radiators now like they used to, where you could drain the fluids or coolants out and replenish it?
Yeah, and most of them do. The tricky part now is the way the front ends of these cars are, where the motor, radiator and all the cooling systems. All your SUVs pretty much now have a rear heater core, so you've got all the piping and the cores, in the back. The tricky part is to get the air back out of it once you drain it and refill it. So honestly, it's better to let a professional do it. I'm not saying a individual can't do their own, but the worst thing you could do is go out there and try and do some maintenance on your car and then do some damage to it because you didn't get it full.
Right. Well, back in the day when we had $1,000 and $2,000 cars or $3,000 cars, they weren't as technical, and if we messed it up, we weren't losing that much. But if you've got a $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, or $90,000 vehicle now, mm-hmm. You don't want to do something that's detrimental to it. And not only that, but if you do, I mean, you could be without a car for 30 days or so.
Right. Well, you know, and it's just like, okay, a basic truck nowadays that's a few years old, if you have to put a motor in it, you're 10 grand or better.
Right.
Yeah. And to put the motor in it. So it's expensive to fix,
sure,
if you make a mistake and do some damage to that motor.
Right.
It's just, you know, the few hundred dollars you would spend to pay somebody to do it is money well spent.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of tricks to getting that air out of those systems,
mm-hmm.
and you can't do it without cranking the motor up.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And there's tricks to that all these techs have been taught, you know, in school, and it's been taught by the other technicians in these facilities, whether it be dealerships and our independents. Mm-hmm. So, if I was going on a long trip right now and I had a lot of mileage on my car, I'd be wanting to check the coolant and get somebody that knows what you're doing, check it, and to replace it if so needed.
Right.
Because you might save the deterioration of some of the inner workings on the car, mm-hmm. by the dissimilar metals, meaning like, you know, aluminum doesn't work good with against the cast iron. And
right.
And all the other products on there. And now, you know, we see that they're even having to put a special kind of glue and a special insulator between some of the fenders and things on these vehicles.
Right.
And then they're having to use a special kind of bolt that's got this coating and all on it,
mm-hmm.
that can only be used one time. So they're already telling us that it's a problem. So we don't need to get a weak link started on these vehicles.
Yeah, I mean, and we've seen it on the body panels, like you said, that they actually are using a coated bolt that's holding, say, the fender on or the front clip on or whatever, that is a one-use bolt, just for the simple fact that once you put it on, tighten it down, and go to take it off, you're coating is going to be gone.
Right, you're removing that coating.
You're removing the coating enough to where it would be a problem.
It's not reusable. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it's there's reasons for all that stuff, and you know, without the literature, and you know, hey, if we're talking about changing the bolt, you know, anybody, not anybody, because I have seen people mess that up, but the you know, a handy do-it-yourselfer should be able to do it. But the trick is knowing which ones to throw away and which ones to
you can reuse. Yeah.
You know, and having that information, because it may be something very random, and you just don't expect it to be something you got to throw away.
Right,
you
know? So true.
That's why, you know, having your car service somewhere that knows your car, you know, is very important. You know, it's not cheap to get them worked on, but it's way more expensive to replace one.
Right. Well, I mean, it's here we go again, where our economy is such this day and time that everything's expensive. I mean, you know, the most expensive thing you got in your house right now is probably your grocery bill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because of the cost of all the groceries and everything. And then, you know, and there's a lot of bad products out there, too. You talk about groceries. I mean, the wife had to throw away about 4 packages of fresh-cut hamburger meat.
Yeah.
We went to a special store to get that and, you know, thinking we were doing, you know, getting a better cut of meat.
Right.
Because in some places you just don't buy meat, you know, and in some places you just don't want to work on your damn car.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of the same thing.
Exactly.
So, you know, so... but we paid good money for it, but I won't go back there again, you know?
Right,
yeah.
Right. I understand completely. But anyway, we were talking about the maintenance you need to do on your cars before you start taking them on trips. And, you know, don't overlook the tires and brakes. Tires especially, look at how old they are, and not only the tread depth, but the age as well. So... it sounds like it's time for us to take a break, and we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Ask the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can be done?
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raymond along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106. But, Tom, before we started the show, we got to talking a little bit about some of the newer cars and the systems they have on them and some of the things that are making them just really hard for the do-it-yourselfer to work on them anymore.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's just like... like some of our stuff now, you know, they use multiple communication systems on the cars. You know, some of our stuff has five or six different communication systems on it. And then when I say communications, I'm not talking about a phone. I'm talking about modules talking to each other and the lines that they talk on. And it may be, you may have four different communication lines or communication paths going into one module and then going back out. And they're all talking on a different frequency, you know, for lack of better terms. You know, we're using gateway modules now, and it's kind of the protector, you know, of the system, keeping people from hacking in and trying to take control of your vehicles and all this kind of stuff, and other things being tied to your vehicle and get tied into the data lines. That is one of the real trying systems on the car to work with, and you really have to have a very strong understanding of that system to work on it. That's not only is it going to take the do-it-yourselfer out of it, it's going to take a bunch of the independent shops, and it's going to give them fits.
Well, the dealerships, excuse me, not the dealership, the manufacturers are forcing this issue. But they don't want their cars in independent shops. They want them back in the factory dealers.
Right.
And therefore, they're making the software so sophisticated that an independent shop can't afford to buy it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But that being said, now, we still have that myth that's out in the public about using a code checker. And we see a lot of the, you know, box stores are still doing that and selling parts. But... We keep trying to impress the point that just because it gives you a code, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that particular item is bad.
Right.
But there's something in that system.
Yeah.
So my understanding is what you guys are having to do is have enough essential factory design equipment that can go to that code, then you start working back down that line. To
right.
all of that other 40 or 50 pieces that mm-hmm. are tied into everything on a car that moves this day and time, it's got electrical wire in it.
Right.
And
right.
it's going through some computer somewhere or some module.
Yeah.
So, you know, but then the code that you're getting might, as I say, might be up the line from that and be, it could be something five modules down the line
right.
that's wrong.
Right.
And it's feeding back up to that gateway.
Yeah. You know, there's almost nothing nowadays in a car that is like hardwired directly from, okay, it has the power and ground from the battery comes up, goes to a switch and goes to a component and turns it on.
No.
Yeah, that's just not the way it works.
It don't work anymore. That way anymore.
Yeah. It's going to go through some kind of module, and your switch is nothing more than a signal to a module to turn something on,
right?
And then that module sends a signal out to turn on either a relay or a component of some sort.
fuel pumps, lights,
right?
All the electrical stuff is on the vehicles.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everything is running through some kind of control device, you know, and is based off of some signal from either another module, a driver input of some sort. Your brake lights are not directly hooked to your brake pedal anymore. It's got a sensor on it that tells not just on and off, but how hard you're pushing the brake pedal, how far you're pushing it, and it stores that information for wreck, you know, information and the crash data and any of that kind of stuff. But then it sends a signal out to the body control, which sends it out to a lamp module, sends it to a signal to the taillights.
Yeah, it's just the old days that we knew, when a brake light switches out or wires loose somewhere at a light bulb or a light bulb's out. No, it don't work anymore.
No.
And you can't just arbitrarily change a headlight bulb now.
No.
You just about have to disassemble the front of the car to get to a lot of them.
Well, most of them don't even have really a headlight bulb. They went from the incandescent to a halogen to now a lot of them are LED lights, and they're run through, your headlight lamp itself actually has a module inside of it.
Right.
That has got power and ground going out there waiting to turn the headlight on, and then it's told by another module that, okay, it's time to turn the headlight on.
Those are not $28.
Oh, no.
You could add about 20 to that.
Yeah. There's some that are that much, and it's not unusual to have a $1,800, $2,000 headlight.
Unbelievable.
Now, they are more durable than what they used to be.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. They're way more complicated, but if you bust one,
right?
Yeah,
right. You short it out, try to mess with it.
Yeah, and that's another thing. If you have the headlights in one of your later model cars that has a module inside of it, and you look at it, and there's moisture inside that headlight, you're basically steaming that module every time you get your headlight on and it gets all warmed up and it's starting to burn some of that moisture out of it.
Yeah.
You're steaming up inside that headlight.
Hadn't even thought about that.
And that module's just sitting there cooked in
it's
steam.
It's cooking.
Yeah, and it'll kill them. And, it having a module in there, guess what? It's got a data line in that going to that headlight. And as soon as it has that data line out there and you're killing that module, well, you're liable to shut the car down.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, man.
That's so true.
They've made them way more complicated, and which keeps me in business. I mean, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. But, even with my background in all orders, I have a problem with my car. I'm going, hey, Kev.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have time? Look at this ride, son.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's.
I'll back up on you so I can get my car into the service line.
Yep, and it's really fun and strange to realize that how much it's changed since we've started doing the show.
Oh, yeah.
So,
unbelievable.
Yeah, big difference. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening to Car Doctor Show tonight, and we will be back.
And welcome back to Scuttlebutt Network. We'll be with you on Wednesday night. And to all of our first responders and all of our veterans, God bless you guys. We wouldn't have a country if it wasn't for you. Hoorah.